Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Audrey, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
How did you first find me?
I think I found you maybe in a magazine or something. Okay. It was a long time ago. It was way back 40 weeks, Whole House days. And I did like 2 years of that maybe. So it was pretty early on that I found you. You were one of the first podcasts I listened to regularly.
Yeah, you found me probably right when the podcast started, 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I don't even know how long I've been doing podcasts, a long time.
It was pretty early.
Yeah. So tell us, who lives with you and your family?
So we have me and my husband. We're both in our early 40s. We have a son who will be 12 next month. A 10-year-old daughter, and we adopted little Scooter, who's a four-month-old doxy mix, who is now sleeping in a sunbeam. We lost our previous dog back in February, so Scooty is a welcome addition to our home.
So when did you get your new puppy?
About a month ago.
Okay. So. It's very popular in the pandemic to have a new puppy.
Yeah, it was hard. It was work to get him. Mm-hmm. Because there's not a lot of dogs available right
Short
now.
Short supply.
And we are small dog people, and there are not a lot of small dogs out there.
I'm telling you, the supply chain for everything is disrupted, even dogs. Abby brought Frank home, I think it was February in the pandemic. She had gone babysitting, and she came home with the Chihuahua. And we were like, what is this? She's like, I bought him at the pet store. Because she had been babysitting, so she had money, like everybody else. And no place to spend it because everywhere was closed except the pet store. And she came with the dog.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So a lot of people did that, by the way.
Yep. And Scooter is an adorable little thing.
Aw, how fun. So your kids are 10 and 12. I mean, that is a great age.
It is. It's so sixth grade and fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in the sweet spot of them still being kids, and they still snuggle a bit and give hugs, but they're more and more self-sufficient on their own and taking more responsibility and contributing. But we're still in the parental involvement stage in a lot of ways of, did you get your schoolwork done, taking you to activities, things like that.
And if I count backwards, you probably found me right about the time when your youngest was going to all-day school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a huge transition and one I don't talk about very often, but it's one that I, when I did my in-home professional organizing, that was usually who my client was. They were like mid-30s and their youngest child had just entered all-day school, which for some is kindergarten and for some is first grade. And they were like, that's it. I'm taking back my house from this baby stage and sippy cups and diapers and all this stuff. And once you have your youngest child in all-day school, it is like a game changer because now they're self-sufficient. Most of those things that you needed for babies and toddlers now could be gotten rid of. And you don't find that you have to change the clothing and the food and all that every 3 months. You can now do it like twice a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. It's so awesome. So I'm so excited for you. Yeah. But why did you decide to start getting organized?
So I grew up in a very clean home, but very cluttered behind closed doors. You'd open the pantry and everything is just piled in there and just so much stuff. My husband grew up in like a more organized but still very knick-knacky home of a lot of stuff. And as we started building our household together, one, we're frugal. So I don't see the point in buying a lot of stuff that's just going to take up space that I have to clean. That's just how we are. And that just, it wasn't our decorating style. And my husband is very kind of clutter crazy in that if there's even a little bit, his like anxieties almost amp up, and he cannot just sit down and put his feet up until everything's taken care of. So I guess I took some of that on, you know, trying to bring him down to my level, but trying to bring up my level from how I was raised. And then realizing that, you know, like you've said, with efficiency and productivity, when I stay on top of it more, I have just more time in my day to say things are good enough right now. Let me sit down and put my feet up and read a book, things like that. So just kind of that efficiency, that productivity in my life is what I needed.
Yeah. So you've been listening to the podcast for a long time and you decided to jump all the way in January of 2020, this year. So why did you go from just listening to the podcast and doing what you were doing to really going all in on the program? Like you said, you're frugal and you've been listening and following along. What was it that made that shift for you?
I think it was realizing that, okay, the mindset has changed, but the structure of the program was not quite there without then taking that next step and jumping all in. You know, thinking, oh, I can follow the podcasts on my own, the printables that are available, but it was getting that underlying structure that I never quite had time to fully build by myself. And why reinvent the wheel if the structure is there? There was also, it kind of came up in November. My birthday's in November, and I had put on my wish list, you know, I want this, whatever, little things. And family members would just give like Amazon gift cards or just cash. And again, my very kind of frugal mind is like, well, why shouldn't spend that on myself? Like I could use that for groceries and just very practical like that. And I was saying something to my husband. He's like, well, don't like use it on something you want. And I said, you know what? I will. And so for kind of my little birthday money, I think I got the Sunday basket. And then with Christmas money, I was like, okay, let's upgrade to all access. And so finally I did something for myself there rather than being so practical and just doing stuff for the household.
Wow. Okay. So I want to really dive into this because you've listened to me for a long, long time. And your house doesn't sound like it was totally out of control because you'd been working on this for such a long time. Once you got into the 100-day program and you actually got the official Sunday basket, did you see a change? Like, was there something that was in that program that you couldn't get from the podcast, or was it just the commitment or going through the lessons? What was it that changed?
Exactly. It's the accountability and the commitment. And you're right. On the surface, things were generally doing pretty good. It was the little things that were falling through the cracks, things that weren't getting done fully to completion. So having the Sunday basket and then especially adding on and being diligent about the Sunday basket club, even if I'm not following on at the exact same steps or I come 20 minutes late, just having that as a time slot of like-minded people to do the work. So things were falling through the cracks of like, oh, I didn't get the lunch menu in time, little things like that. So kind of diving into the Sunday basket helped with that. And then in terms of the home organization, I had the mindset of you don't need a full day to do things. You know, if I see a mug in the cabinet that I haven't used in months and months, I can purge it right then. I don't have to wait until an event of I am purging today to do that. But there was never that full completion of carrying that out through the house. The kitchen, the laundry room, the linen closet were all very well under control. But it's kind of the other things that, again, we're just getting put off. So I needed that commitment and the accountability.
That's awesome. So you were taking what you had already kind of done in the linen closet in the kitchen on your own, but could not really figure out, well, Lisa hasn't explicitly said how to do this in the family room or how to do this in this space. So you were looking for that extra that would do it in there as well.
Awesome. Well, and then also little things like rather than thinking about my kitchen as just the stuff that's mm-hmm. in cabinet A and the stuff that's in cabinet B, going that next step of, you know, declutter, organize, increase efficiency, productivity. Yeah. I was pretty decent in those first two steps, but then realizing, I should have zones to my kitchen.
Yes.
And that changes my productivity. Rather than just putting things where they fit, put them in a spot with purpose. So that's been the next step that I've really seen more progress in.
How fun. So when's the first time that you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Probably like linen closet stuff, linen closet laundry room of, I need to do some iron-on patches for the jeans and mm-hmm. going right to it. Or, you know, we keep our extra stock of toiletries in the linen closet and being able to tell my husband, who has man looked for something 10 times, exactly what drawer in the linen closet it's in. That's where I notice it a lot.
I like that, man looked.
Yep, that's a phrase in our house.
I like that. Right in front of you, Greg. Where? Right in front of you.
Exactly.
It's a real thing, people. It's a real thing.
It really is.
Has anything happened on your journey to get organized that you didn't expect to happen?
We moved this summer. And so kind of loosely following the steps to an organized move somewhat, mm-hmm. and then kind of being able to just unpack my kitchen and things kind of already had a home was great to get settled in there in a really good amount of time.
Were you planning on moving before the pandemic?
We had talked about it probably uh-huh. November, December is when we started with a realtor.
Okay.
It slowed things down a little bit because we couldn't do showings mm-hmm. As frequently, but the housing market in Denver never really stopped. Our realtor's like, you know, spring break's usually the high point, so we want to have your home listed by then, but it kept growing. Like, he's like, I don't know when the things are going to slow, and it never slowed. So it was hard to find a home. We mm-hmm. had to put bids in on 8 different houses before we got accepted, some 20,000 over asking. But that was something in our back of our mind before the COVID. Mm-hmm. And we were amazed to find that our house sold super fast as well.
Yeah. Here in Cincinnati, Greg and I are always kind of looking. We're never going to move. But we were also kind of looking in November, December, and again in January, February. And in Cincinnati, houses were selling in less than a day then, and still are now. Mm-hmm. I mean, still, there are no houses on the market. Like, they all sell within a day. This is just the most bizarre year in the history of the world.
Like, it is.
It's like one of those upside down, backwards years. Yeah. Like, everything you can imagine is opposite. So in relation to that, you jumped in January of 2020, you were kind of looking to move, you ended up moving. I'm sure your kids ended up schooling from home. Mm-hmm. All of those changes hit you just like they have hit everyone else. Did you keep going in the 100-day part? Like, what did your organization look like? Your mindset had already changed. So what did the actual year look like?
So I was going pretty well until things shut down. And then summer, I really didn't get in. I, you know, followed on the Facebook. So I'd say, oh, they're in the kitchen right now. Oh, they're in the bedroom. And, you know, I'd do things kind of here and there. But with the move and school and every day was mm-hmm. something different with the kids, summer wasn't really into it. But then this round, you know, we're on week 4, it's like all in. I work 3 days a week, so I don't always get to do things like on the day, but it's usually the Tuesday, Thursday where I'll just kind of put the computer on and do one task and check it off and do another task and check it off and until my timer goes off and I need to switch tasks.
Nice. And we're recording this at the end of September, and you said you're in Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Are your kids at school now?
My daughter is, both students started 2 weeks online.
Okay.
I was very fortunate. The hospital I work for with the Family Leave Act mm-hmm. was paying 100% for those days off rather than I think the act was like 60%. So they were very generous and I was able to take most of those first 2 weeks off
okay.
to be home with them. And then the day after Labor Day, My son started 2 days a week in school, and my daughter started full-time in school. So we're getting adjusted to our schedule. We're a few weeks in, and things are going smoothly now.
Yeah, it is. I will tell you one thing. The more organized you are and planned you are, the more availability and bandwidth you have for the unexpected that is now just kind of the expected, right?
And I so see that. Taking my time on Sunday to, I'm a paper planner, but a Google planner, you know, to look through the things I have on my Google calendar. I write them down on my paper planner because, as you know, when you write things down more, you're going to stick it in your head better. Yeah. So I write it down and then I'm less likely to potentially forget about it. And then once it's written down and I've done my dump list, I can go through and plug in things where they need to go. I'll do an hour of computer here. I'll do phone calls here. And then Sunday night at dinner is kind of family organization time of what do we have going on this week? You have soccer practice on this day. You have gymnastics on this day. So-and-so is picking you up because it's her turn for carpool. We've got the dog vet on this day, and we just get on board for the week. And then when the things do come up, it's really easy to say, okay, I can shuffle this that I had that I was going to do. I can shuffle this over here. I'm really big on, like they've brought it out in the Sunday Basket Club a little bit more, front loading my week when I have the energy just to get it done. And then one, I've got room to flex if I need to, or I've got room to just not do stuff if I need to.
It's so weird. I mean, so we're recording this on a Tuesday, and Monday at 5, I was done with work, and I literally went and I watched 4 shows and did a puzzle. I'm like, this is so weird that I have time to do this. I feel so guilty. Like I should, I said to Greg, I said, well, I mean, I guess maybe I could work more. He's like, stop it. I'm like, but the house is clean. The dishes are done. Like there's nothing else to do. It's so bizarre to not have a never ending to-do list and a feeling like you're never going to get it all done.
I was thinking that last night as, you know, schoolwork has started for my kids. So I had my son on one side working on homework, my daughter on the other. And I'm like, oh, I'm writing, I signed up to write get out the vote postcards. So I was like, I can do postcards right now without feeling the stress of, oh, I should be doing this. I need to do that. I need to do that. Because I know that those things that I need to do have their time slots and scheduled throughout the week.
Yeah, in November, I'm going to dive into the 4 different kinds of work you have in business. And we also have those in home. And the first 2 are planned work. And the second 1 is unplanned work. And unplanned work is firefighting mode. And I feel like as women at home, we are always in firefighting mode until we choose to stop and get organized and be proactive. And then we're not in firefighting mode. And it is so bizarre to not be working the way you used to work. When you worked in planned productivity, it's calm, it's orderly, unexpected happens, you move things around. And when a lot of unexpected things happen, then you go back into firefighting mode, and like I did in March and April, and it's really weird. And then it's hard to break out of it. Like once you get back in firefighting mode, it is hard to go back to planned productivity, because even though it's purposeful and it's so much more organized and productive, it's a totally different energy in your body. And fight or flight actually gives you a quicker hit and a dopamine release and like just makes you feel more productive, even though the other one is the true more productive energy.
Yeah. And that like pre-COVID was definitely, I wouldn't say hard for us, but something I had to work through because I work outside the home 3 days a week as a physical therapist. My husband works outside the home full time. So trying to balance, you know, all those little things that firefighting stuff that needs to get done with a part-time and full-time jobs is hard enough. And then when COVID hit, both our jobs stayed outside the home. So we had to figure out how do we have our kids at home and do school, but we both still work outside the home. And it definitely, things got turned upside down. And then we added in moving. And so there was that period of, am I coming or am I going? And getting back into that routine, I have found to be easier than it was the first time, kind of back when I really jumped in the program, because there was already that bit of a start. So once, you know, the routine came back in, it was easy to find that groove again and kind of be like, oh yeah, we know what to do. Things are good.
Yeah. And I think if you're listening and you're like, right, I was productive and I'm being productive again, but it feels weird, it's because all the media and the social media is telling you that you shouldn't be. You should be all fight or flight or trying to figure all this out. You've decided. You've already decided what your kids are doing. Your work has already decided what it's doing. Like, you don't have all of those questions anymore. So just set your plan and do it. I'm actually off my phone a lot because my phone was really getting me all worked up and had me chasing down rabbit trails that I don't even need to be on.
And I think recognizing, like you touched on, our body's physiological response to some of this. I started taking antidepressants. It might have been a year ago, November, just realizing that energy is low. There's no motivation. And so that helped. But then once the COVID started, recognizing how sleep patterns changed and that kind of fight or flight response and always that feeling of being amped up but not having an outlet for it, kind of coming to the realization of we are in a period of trauma and shock and sleep disturbance is normal. So what do you need to do to kind of bring that homeostasis about in your body again to find that even keel? And it's just recognizing how your body can change under different periods of stress. And then when you kind of treat that or act on it, you can keep moving more.
Yeah. And as the female head of the home that you and I are, what we feel, our family picks up on. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone in the family has an energy that changes the home. But in my observation, the female energy changes it more than any other.
Yeah.
And so if we can be centered and calm and not scattered, then everyone else kind of follows our lead.
Yeah. And getting them on board with kind of the organization of things too helps, so that it's not just you feeling resentful of, I keep doing all this work and it never ends. Of once I have the system in place, empowering them to, you know, I'm sorry you need pencils right this moment. Put it on a list, put it in the basket. I'll take care of it the next time I shop. Teaches them that everything is not a crisis either.
Yes.
And getting them on board.
Awesome. What do you think you have more of now?
I would say I have more time to do the things, the passion projects, the things that I want to do without always doing the things that seem like they need to be done. Mm-hmm. So reading a book, playing a board game with the family, things like that.
Yeah. And what do you have less of?
Less frenetic, anxiety, reactive, driven life of having to drop everything because I forgot to turn in the lunch form. And now I need to make a special trip to the school to drive in and drop it off. Just that underlying anxiety, knowing that when I come home at night, I put the purse where the purse goes. I put the shoes where the shoes go. The dinner plan is already planned out. That calm and routine.
Awesome. What do you wish that you'd known sooner?
That the program is there as a structure and a foundation, and to have not tried to kind of do it on my own subpar, to have just jumped in from earlier on.
And just do it in those little nooks and crannies that you have. Like, I love that you mentioned that you work 3 days a week, that your spouse works 5 days a week, that you had to work outside of the home during the pandemic. So you were able to fit this in amongst everything else you were doing and moving and the kids, like you were able to fit it in your schedule.
Yeah. Because, you know, once I got that routine of on Sundays, we do this, and even little things like I don't take a lot of medications regularly, but I take a few every day. And so I got myself a 7-day AM PM pill pack.
Yep.
And just in the evenings, rather than opening 3 different bottles every single night, I just dump that one pack out on the counter. Mm-hmm. And it's little things like that, the efficiency that have just made the difference in finding that smoothness through all the big transitions.
Yeah. And just even with three pills that you now have in a pill pack, from an executive functioning point of view, you have to grab three pills bottles. You have to open up all three. You have to check the label. And if you take one of all three, that's less deciding you have to do. But like one of Joey's pills is 1.5. So you have to remember that one's 1.5 and then one of this and then one of this and then put all the lids back on and then take it. It's not just that it takes longer. It's that you just had to make like 12 decisions versus one decision of opening the packet and taking it. Like it's a lot more decision making that you're doing.
The podcast you've done on how many spoons you have and decision fatigue have made a big difference for me recently too. Like as I have set up my closet in my new home and then we'll kind of reevaluate during these next few weeks of the 100-day program, we don't have to wear uniforms to work, but I've made myself a work uniform. I figure, okay, I work 3 days a week. If I have maybe a rotation of 5 or 6 shirts, people aren't going to remember what shirt I wore on this Monday versus a Friday 2 weeks later. So I, you know, I've got my little kind of section, my little capsule of work clothes, and then I just kind of rotate through them.
I love it.
Rid of the decision fatigue. I use an amazing app for meal planning that does my shopping list for me and my meal plans. And so when I come home and I'm tired and it's like, well, the calendar says this is what's for dinner, so this is what we're going to make.
What is the name of the app? Everyone is going to want to know.
It is called Plan to Eat. I've used it probably 3 years now. It's a subscription service, but it goes on sale 50% off, usually the week after Thanksgiving. So I wait until then to renew my annual subscription. And I can do it from my phone or the computer. I can upload recipes I find on the website, or I can input things from my cookbooks. And you just, from your recipes, you drag it to the calendar. And then you go to the shop button and you say, give me the ingredients for this date range. And if you need one onion from this recipe and a half onion for this recipe, it'll tell you need to buy 2 onions.
So that's cool.
You know, my meal plan. And it's social too. So you can friend people on it and then you can look through their recipes. It takes away the decisions that I have to do. I scan my recipe list, I drag them onto the days, my shopping list is done, that's what's for dinner.
That is so cool. Okay, Audrey, you mentioned earlier that you set your timer and then you just, you know, do a couple of the 100-day tasks or however much you can in that timer. Do you set the same time every day? Is there a different, how do you decide how much time? How much do you get done in that time? Can you really get a day in the 100-day program done in a short amount of time? People want to know that too.
Yeah. My Tuesdays and Thursdays, those are my days to get things done. So that's when appointments are sometimes. So I have to work in my little time slots within there. I pick up my son from school at 1:45. I pick up my daughter at 3. So I'll set Echo, set a timer for 45 minutes and I'll just go through as many as I can. Because I've had the mindset of organization for so long, when I am like going silverware drawer, that was done in 10 minutes. Early on they might take longer, but as I'm kind of keeping up with things now, I'm finding it is, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes to empty the silverware drawer, look at everything. Maybe I'll take these 2 things out or move them. Let's give everything a wipe down and a clean off, and then let's move to the next task.
And you're doing this 2 days a week. So you're doing the 100-day program on Tuesdays and Thursdays in about 45-minute blocks. That's how you're doing it.
Yeah. And then like Sunday, we didn't have much going on Sunday. So I said, okay, I'm a few days behind. Let's see what I can do until we need to go to our next event on Sunday. So I just...
Okay, that's very helpful. I think people are gonna be like, oh, I didn't know you could do it that way. So I love hearing how people are like plugging it into their day. What's your next step? Like, what's next now?
I would like to get through this 100-day challenge, the full thing this first time. And then I have the binders. I did the paper organizing retreat that was on, I don't know, it might have been a couple months ago now, that was virtual. So I have all my papers in bins for which binder they go into. I just now need to sit down and do that. So the binders are my next big step.
Awesome. Any advice or words of encouragement you want to leave people with?
One is you can be working full-time, you can be working part-time, you can be working from the home and still fit things in. It's not a program that you have to be kind of a full-time stay-at-home mom. You can be working outside of the home or in different settings and still get it done. And I think in those situations, even more reason to have it so you have more time for yourself and for your family.
It has been such a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
I'm just fangirling over here, finally getting to talk with you.
Yeah, so. Tell people, is it scary to do this? Like, apply, right? You want to hear their story.
It's a delight. I did my hair today, even.
One's going to see it but me, but it looks gorgeous, people. It looks gorgeous.
My other next step, because I'm seeing your paper solution on the back counter, is I got the 5 copies. So
thank you.
To give those out to the gift them out to the people who I think would need them and would benefit from them.
Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate all of you that helped us with the book launch and buying the 5 copies. That was amazing. And coming to our virtual paper organizing retreat, I really, really appreciate that you did that.
It has been a pleasure, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.